I was sitting down there as they sang that song, as we sang that song, and I just want you to know that we did not coordinate our efforts this week. God did. Title of my message today is Fitted Together. Guess what that fitting together is held together by? The cornerstone, Jesus himself. Last Sunday, we talked about the fact that God has a calling for each one of us and how God develops us as individuals as we seek him. Then, when we as individuals seek to please God and to be faithful to him, he brings us together to fulfill his mission. His mission. His mission. Not my mission, not your mission, not anything, but his mission. So what is that mission? We talked about the first week I was here that he would be glorified on the earth. That's number one mission that God has given us as his people, is that he would be glorified on the earth. Number two, that the gospel of his redemptive love through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, would be preached to all mankind. Number three, that humanity would be restored to the masterpiece that he created it to be. Number four, that in Christ Jesus, we would be brought together in unity and fellowship with him and one another. Number five, that his love would be shown to the world through his people, both Jew and Gentile. And so that's where we pick up today. So if you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to continue. We ended in verse 10 last week, and we're going to continue. We're going to pick up right up at verse 11. I don't know about you. I'm not here all the time. When I walked in this building this morning, there was something different going on in this building this morning. No idea what God wants to do in your heart. It might be in my heart. My sermon might just be for me today. You know, that's one of the things about the will of God and understanding the calling of God on our life. We have to accept that he's doing things that we can't see. Because when I walked in this building this morning, all I could hear was 50 people just talking. Fellowshipping, there was a little music playing, there was people laughing, kids running around. It was just something a little different this morning. So just be ready to do whatever God wants you to do this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul writes, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh," that's us, "who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise." Listen to this. "Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace." See, we seek all kind of things. I have a degree in counseling. I also have studied in psychology and studied the human mind. I'm a student of the mind. I love the human mind, and has both a dark side and a brilliant side. The brilliant side is God's side. It's the original part. The darkness is what we bring to it. But this verse 14 says that he himself is our peace. Our peace doesn't lie in anything but Christ. "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace." That's what the world needs. The world needs to have the walls broken down. And just like Jesus Christ came to fulfill Israel's story and to break down the wall between God's chosen people, Israel, and the rest of the world, and to give redemption to the whole world, God has placed us here to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles to help continue the breaking down of that wall of separation that our sin has placed between us and God. That's our mission, right? That He would be glorified so that what He started would be finished well. Verse 17 says, and He came, who? Who's He? Who's He? Talk to me. Jesus. The Word. Somebody hold up your Bible. What is that you're holding in your hand? More than that. It's even more than that. Huh? The love letter. About who? He. It's Jesus. What is John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. What does verse 14 of John chapter 1 say? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Is Jesus bodily standing here in Herman Baptist Church this morning? Not bodily, but He is in His Word. He is in us. See, the method that God has chosen for us, the will of God, the calling that God has placed in our lives is that we would stand in place. We would stand in places where we can make a difference, that we can stand and we can be the ones that tear down that wall. The Bible says that we are ministers of reconciliation. See, we are the ones. We are not to go around and build walls and to isolate people. But we spoke a little bit about that last Sunday, how sometimes we build that bubble and we isolate ourselves and we huddle the masses. And it's just sort of a human tendency that, you know, we've got this good thing going on and we just want to stay in this bubble. But that's not what we're called to do. Paul says that He came and He preached peace to you who were far away. Paul says, remember, don't forget that you were once one of those people outside of the commonwealth of Israel and outside of any ability to approach God. But He came and He preached peace to you who are far away. And look in verse 17, and peace to those who were near. Remember, Jesus preached first to who? The Jews. He preached to His chosen people. And so, that's sort of what we do, right? We come together as Christians. We allow the Word of God and through just a vessel, whoever it is, to preach to us. And then we take what we learn here and we go to the Gentiles, right? To the people who are outside, who are really proverbial Gentiles to the family of God. The people who are still outside of the commonwealth of Israel and of those who have trusted Christ. Verse 18 says, for through Him we both have access, excuse me, through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. So if you're in this building today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking about some ritual prayer. I'm talking about if you know that God has changed your life. Because, see, listen, the Spirit of the Holy God does not enter a person's body and not something change. There has to be. We're still sinners, and we're just like the people out there in the world. The only thing that's different about you and I is that we have a part of God. We have Jesus in our hearts. We have a piece of God's Spirit placed into us at the moment you trusted Christ. And if that did it not at some point, I mean, you may have fallen off the wagon, you may go wrong, we all do. But at some point, there had to be something that people saw in your life that was different than before. He says, you're no longer strangers and aliens. You're no longer hopeless. You're no longer outside of that wall. You're no longer separated from God. Remember Adam in the garden? What happened when he sinned? What happened to the garden? And what happened between Adam and God and his ability to go into the garden? What happened? It was separated. No longer could he enter into the peace of God, right? Because remember, the Bible says that Adam and God had previously walked in the cool of the day, and they had walked and talked, and we have some great songs about that. And there was this peace. There was this peaceful relationship between Adam, Eve, and God, and all of creation. And then that wall went up, and we were all separated. Everybody, every person on the planet who's ever lived was all separated. But Paul says, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, in verse 19, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the... Goosebumps. You didn't know what I was going to preach today. See, we have to. What I preached last Sunday was about us really just allowing God to tear us down, just pulling apart, allowing God to pull us apart, because we're wanting to know what the will of God is for our lives. We want to know what the calling of God is for our lives, but we cannot fulfill the will of God for ourselves or for this church until we allow God to break apart the barriers that we have built in our own lives, and to break us down, and to help us to just to. Put away all religion. Put away all the things that we think are pleasing to God, because that's not what's pleasing to God. Are there things about religion that God likes? Sure. God's a God of order. God likes order in a church, right? God don't want us to come in here and just be crazy and just to the point where there's nobody can learn anything. But do all the things that we've made God's stuff, do they really pertain to breaking down walls, or do they pertain to building up walls? See, I wonder what the people of Lancaster, if I were to go out this morning, or that's the nearest city I keep referring to, that's the closest place, or Monroe, or wherever it might be that we would go. If I just walked up to the average person in the grocery store or wherever, and I said, what do you think of Herman Baptist Church? What do you think they would say? What's the first thing they would say? 200. What was that? Where's that? Oh, it's up on 200. You say it was a Baptist church? Oh. Why? Because they've been taught what they've seen from us, and not just here, I'm just using you for example, talking to you this morning. What people who were outside those barriers still, what they see when they look at us is not ministers of reconciliation. They see a finger of judgment pointed at them that says that you don't fit here. You don't wear the right clothes. You don't speak the right way. You don't have the right skin color. You don't have the right hair length. Your skirt ain't long enough. Your shirt don't come high enough. You don't wear this. You don't talk like that. You don't do any of the things we do, and so you don't fit here. And I honest before God, I couldn't care less if you believe that or not. I travel all over the place, and trust me, it's the perception that lost people, especially those who are troubled and downtrodden and broken and who are suffering addiction and all the different things that are happening in the world, those people do not view us as ministers of reconciliation. They view us as judges. And that is not our job. If the job of the Son of God, who is God, who was the Word, who is the living Word, who came and dwelt among us, if his sole job was he came and preached peace. Paul says he came and preached peace. Let's finish up the end of verse 20 again to put it into context. It says, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together. It's a process, right? process. We're being fitted together, built upon that cornerstone that is Christ Jesus, that God sent to preach peace and to bring reconciliation to all of humanity. We, as His children, are being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. See, the reason we need unity in the church, the reason that God desires unity in the church, is because, like I said a moment ago, whenever you trusted Him as your Savior, He put a piece of Himself into you. He put a piece of His Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and indwelt you. Jesus Himself indwelt your body. And in order for that to work together, we have to be completely yielded to Him. Because remember what we said? There's darkness. There's the dark side of our mind. See, when the Bible talks about heart, it's talking about your mind
controls everything you do. It controls what you eat.
The center of our controls what you drink. Controls what you listen to. Controls what you say. Controls everything you do. It controls what you eat. Controls what you drink. Controls what you listen to. Controls what you say. Controls how you act. Everything about you is controlled with your mind. Controls what you say. Everything about you is controlled with your mind. If you remember last year, may or may not, we talked a little bit about it says that you'd be renewed. But, you know, we talked about the renewing of the mind. How do we renew our mind? The Word of God. What Paul describes here in Ephesians 2 is extraordinary. It's not only the fact that God would love sinful humanity so much that He gave His only Son to die for us, but also that God chose a most unique way of doing it. See, if we were God, we would not choose this way. We would not choose ourselves. If we were in the place of God and we looked at us and how we live our lives, we wouldn't choose us. Would you choose you? You know you. You hadn't had time to make all the mistakes I've made, buddy. Would I choose me as the vessel by which a holy God would break down barriers and make me a minister of reconciliation? Would I choose me? No, I would not. Would I choose you? Maybe, because I don't know you. But if I knew you, see, God knows us, but He chose this way. The picture that Paul is painting is that of a marvelous plan by God Himself to build something beautiful. In spite of the fact that Adam sinned and caused untold amounts of death and despair, God still has a plan. He has chosen us, His people, to restore things to their rightful order. And again, that's one of those things that we live by faith, and we don't have to agree with God's plan. And we just have to yield to it. We just have to understand that God has different people doing different things for Him all the time that you don't know about, and they're none of your business. See, you're responsible for God for yourself. If you have children, you're responsible to God for those children. Husbands, if you have a wife, you're responsible to God for that wife to an extent, but she's still responsible to God for herself. But your number one responsibility is yourself and how you respond to what God has for you to do. So what an honor, what a privilege we've been given as God's people. You know, a lot of times we get down and we get depressed and why don't you just take me out of here? You know, that's an insult to God, that to ask God to prematurely rapture us out of here. I'm amazed at the churches that I go into that over and over every Sunday. I mean, yes, the Bible teaches that we are look for the return of Christ. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're not to look. But if you remember when Jesus was taken up in the book of Acts, when Jesus was resurrected and He talked with the disciples and then He was taken up from heaven, what did those two angels, the two men in white apparel, what did they say to the disciples who were there watching? They said, "Why are you staring up into heaven? He'll come back." So what they were saying to the apostles was, "He's coming back. Just trust Him. If He said He's coming back, He's coming back. Why are you looking up in amazement at Him? Get busy. He has given you a job." So, I mean, so don't get me wrong. We need to look for the return of Christ. But that we've done everything we can to reach every person that God has given us influence over. Because if we have not, we're going in the face of the people realm of influence, God. We are spitting in the face of sinners that God put in our realm of influence to impact for Him. Because see, when we say, oh Lord, just come take us out of this awful sinful world, that's not the will of God. If that were the will of God, He would have taken you out of this world the moment He saved you. The will of God is for us to fulfill the plan of God. That mission. This marvelous plan that God has requires you and I to pay attention and to yield ourselves, our own selves, to the plan. Remember, it's not our plan that will bring the lost to Christ. It's not our works that will glorify God. It's not the good things we perform. It's not the great songs we sing. It's not the great lessons we teach. And it's not in the sermons we preach. It's not in any of those things. It has always been about love. His love. His plan. His Son. His sacrifice. And the will of God and His calling on our lives when we come together. God and His calling on our lives when we come together. Bonded by His love, and allow Him to fit us together on Christ the cornerstone to become a body of believers that are dedicated to Him and to one another and to the cause of Christ. Look at what Paul, this reason, because of all of this, because of this great calling, because of this, for Christ's reason, because of all of this, because of this great calling, because of what Christ has done, because of that mercy of God that he talked about in chapter 2, because of what God has done, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you, Gentiles, if you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. See, they didn't have the Bible back then. They relied on men like Paul, who were talking to God, who were in tune with God, who were yielding to God, who were faithful to do what they were relying on them. And Paul says to them, God has revealed a mystery to me. Remember that after, when Paul's, sometime in the point of Paul's conversion, there was a time when Paul says, I was taken up I don't know if it was in my body or in my, I don't know. But I know that I stood and talked to God face to face. And God gave me revelation. Paul says this repeatedly, that God gave me revelation that He hadn't given anybody else. God showed, in other words, Paul says, God showed me the gospel in a way that nobody else has ever had it. Because remember, the gospel that Jesus preached here on the planet was when He was man and God. But when Paul saw Jesus, and whenever the Son of God gave Paul His revelation, Jesus had been glorified. He had ascended back to heaven. And He gave Paul the gospel directly from the mouth of God, like the four gospels. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? They came from disciples who walked with God and who listened to what He was doing and then wrote it in their language, their vernacular, right? From the mouth of God. But Paul's writing is different because he got it directly from the mouth of God. That's what he says. And he says, I'm a prisoner. God has made known to me, in verse 3 of chapter 3, God has made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand, my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Listen to verse 6. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. Verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose. What's that eternal purpose? Glorification. That God would be glorified. And how does He? The only way God will be glorified in eternity is that if His creation is reconciled and redeemed. That's why God sent His Son, to redeem that which was lost. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you to not lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Listen to what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. That's what we've been talking about the past 2 weeks. And today is letting God change us as individuals, right? Seeking God as individuals. Seeking God when we are at home, when we are at work. Seeking what God would have us to do in our own life, in our own family. See, Paul says that he would strengthen us in the inner man. Verse 17, so that, listen to what he says, that's necessary. That individual calling that God has for us, that this is necessary for us to understand the will of God for us. He says, because so that, in verse 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. See, Paul always gets back to the word love. Why? Because God always gets back to the word love. Because what does the Bible say? God is love. Verse 18, the end of 17 says, being rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's what we're talking about, right? The will of God, the calling that God has on our life, to be full of God. How do we get full of God? By emptying us of us. How do you get this church full of God? Empty it of anything that's not glorifying him. Always evaluate. You know, I'm a deacon at First Baptist. And people look at our church and they go, oh, well, y'all just got it made. You had 7,000 members. Let me tell you something. A 7,000, you know what the difference in a 7,000 member church and a 100 member church is? A lot more problems. A lot bigger problems. Because more people. What's the problem with churches? Us. It'd be great if it was just Jesus, right? That's the point. This church will be great and First Baptist will be great when it's just Jesus. When it's not us. When it's not white people here and black people there and Spanish-speaking people here and English-speaking people here. When it's not me against you and you got to wear this and this person that wears this thing and I like this person for that. It's Jesus. When this church and First Baptist and every other Bible-believing church, when we become, when people look at us and they just see Jesus, that's what Paul's talking about. If we could just get out of the way long enough to let people see Christ in this place and wherever we are, then we'll change the world. The Bible says that when those disciples got in the upper room, when those apostles after the crucifixion, they get in that upper room, Jesus tells them to go and pray. They go and pray, the Holy Spirit comes and fills them. And the Bible says that there was the most unique thing that we've ever seen in history, that they were all one. They were in one accord. I couldn't tell you, I mean, I'll honestly tell you that there's a lot of times that at First Baptist, that's one of the things that we have that is unique. We do stay in one accord, but there's still problems. Don't get me wrong. And you may be here because I don't know the inner workings of your place. But that one accord, once the disciples got in one accord, unity, they understood what Jesus had said to them. See, Jesus had talked to them individually. Remember what we just said? It's the individual. As you get right with God, God's talking to you, and sometimes it don't make sense. And sometimes you need to share that with somebody. And somebody else, God has revealed something, another piece of the puzzle to another person. And when you reveal and you share your heart with them, they'll go, oh, wait a minute, I know what that's about. Because God told me this. Now that makes sense. See, it's as the inner man is changed, as the inner woman is changed, and as God becomes Lord of all, and we disappear. See, Paul said that I might, what, decrease, and that he might increase. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And then what does verse 21 say? To him be what? A glory. See, see, we overcomplicate this. We make church so hard, and we make our faith life so hard. Paul says it's not that hard. Just stop being you. Stop being who you are, and let Jesus be himself in you. Yeah, simple as that. Is that simple? No. Depends on how easily you yield to God. But I'll tell you this, that the more you read the Word of God, the easier it becomes to yield to God. Because when you read that Word of God, it's a mirror. Paul says in a couple places that the Word of God is a mirror. That when we look at it, we see who we are and we see who God is. So Paul makes some amazing statements here, but I want you to just focus on the fact that he says it doesn't matter what's happening to me. He tells the people it doesn't matter that I'm in bondage. He says the call to reveal God to the world is more powerful than anything else that happens around me or you. Look for 1 second again in verse 16. Verse 16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Paul said to this church at Ephesus, and God's speaking to you and I here today, and he's saying the same thing. Love me. Let me be God. Cling to Jesus. Cling to each other. And I, God, alone, I will fill you up with myself, and I will get glory. And you will understand my will, my calling, my mission, and I will fit you together and make you into a beacon of hope for the world. And it is not through anything wonderful about you. It's all about my Son, Jesus Christ, and how I have had mercy on mankind and shown my love to you through him. Now, come together and allow me to make you into a body of believers that reflects the body of my Son, Jesus, which was broken for you because of your sin. See, we are all still broken people in our own power. And the only way we can be in unity and be a hope to the broken world out there is to allow God to work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit and put us together to become something we are incapable of being in our own power. Look at verse 20 and 21 again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. He says that you have that power, that far and of exceeding abundant power that is God's. It's yours. In Christ, that power is yours. You don't have to wish for it. You don't have to pray for the power of God. He says you've already got it. In Christ, you already have it. Verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The truth is, see, that God can take broken people and make the most beautiful things from them. Because what we sometimes forget is that what the person who is not a child of God out in the world needs is not our best. Because regardless of what we do or how great we think we are, we've been shown the love of God and it changes. Except for the fact that we've been shown the love of God and it changed our lives. So the question is, has it changed your life?
It is the same
thing.
Has
that love of God changed your life? Because that's what that's what has to happen. See, what they need is the same thing. Those people, do you want to reach people for Christ? Do you want us with the Word of God? The Word of God says we are too bad. That's not the Bible. That's not what the Word of God. The Word of God says we are to go with our hands full. That's not the Bible. That's not what the Word of God. The Word of God says we are to go with our hands full. We're to be looking for the harvest. We're to be out there looking for it to the point.
We don't even have to look.
Jesus said, how do we do that? God and each other to the point that we think like he thinks. How do we do that? Read his word. To the point that we think
David
like
said,
he thinks.
I've hidden.
your word in my heart, oh God, that
read
I might.
His word.
David said, I've hid your word in my heart, oh God, that I might not what? Sin against you. It's when we love God and love each other to that point that we think like he thinks and we become a picture of the love of God in this place. And then people will want to be a part of this beautifully broken body that displays love and humility in all that is done. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your spirit that put something together today that we couldn't do. God, I have no idea what's in the hearts of your people here today. But I know this, that until we become overwhelmed by your love, we're wasting our time. So God, I pray that this morning that you'd walk up and down the aisles of this church, and then I pray, God, that you'd just split the hearts of people wide open this morning. I pray, God, that you would pierce, your Holy Spirit would just pierce into the hearts of people, and that we not worry about our neighbor, don't think about who else, that you'd help us not to think about who else you're trying to preach to this morning, but Lord, let it work in our hearts, each one of us. God, I pray that your Spirit would do its work, that your word would not return